everything of us will be his. And we will be like him. And we will see him as he is. What a day that will be. All right, if you would be, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We were studying in Hebrews chapter 3 last week, and we went and stormed through it, and we got all the verses complete, and it showed us what hinders us from the rest that God wants us to have. We want to have rest. And the people in chapter 3 showed us that they didn't know how to have rest. The writer explains that the Israelites that were 20 years and up, they did not enter into the promised land. Why? Because that they were disobedient, that they had unbelief. They weren't trusting God. And so they were not allowed to go in. Even Moses and Aaron were not allowed to go in. And they were the leaders. They were the teachers. Moses did one thing that he struck the rock twice instead of speaking to the rock. And the Lord said, now this is the reason that you're not going to go into that promised land, that land of Canaan. And I'm always reminded, there's so many people that want to be pastors or they want to be teachers, but James 3:1 says, my brethren, be not many masters. Don't desire to be a master, a preacher, a teacher, unless you're willing to take on those consequences that come with it, because it says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In other words, the greater the responsibility that we take on, the greater the consequences when we fail to fulfill that which God has called us to do. So those people that stand up here and are leaders and do teaching and preaching and pastoring and missionary and all those different types of things, they understand the consequences that come with that. And I concluded last week that if we as Christians held sinful ways in our life, that we would not have the rest that we are promised in our mind and in our soul and in the life that we have right now. You know, there's many Christians today that aren't having much rest in their life today. They're not having much peace in their life today, because they're not void of offense towards God and towards man. And that causes a breach in the spirit. It causes us not to be able to function and operate like God wants us to operate. Secondly, the chapter taught that the remedy to help those who were ready to give up, those that were wavering, is that we begin to encourage them. You know, this is one of the things we as Christians must understand, and we must realize that we need to encourage one another. I was just listening to Clive, and he was talking about a client that wasn't able to hardly speak English. You know, he just had to point and show him, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. But when the job was finished, they went out of their way to encourage him, to tell him what a good job he did, and all those different types of things. Now, why did they do that? It must have been something that they've learned that was important. But it is important for us to encourage. You know, and let's start encouraging even with our wives, our husbands, our children, our family, our extended family, and for by all means, our church. Our local church. Our teacher said this morning, this is a piece of heaven that we can have here on earth. This is a place where we can actually be at rest with one another and be able to confide in one another and tell everyone how we feel and how I want you to pray for me. You know, it's marvelous to see people to be able to come out and say exactly how they feel, even with tears, knowing that they're not going to be judged and that the group will come around them and pray for them. Now, this week, our message is entitled, Entering into Real Rest. And that's what we want, isn't it? This is what we want in our life. We want rest. How many times have you got up and said, man, I just really need a rest. I need a holiday. I need a vacation. You know, I need to get out of this place. You know, all of us feel that way so many times. And we can actually have peace and we can have rest even through the troubles and the difficulties that we're going through right now. There is rest, and it is available to you and me right this moment. Now, last week, we read a verse, and it had so many houses that we could build a neighborhood. Well, this passage has a lot of lettuce in it, and a lot of heads of lettuce, and we're going to have enough lettuce in this passage of Scripture to be able to build a nice spiritual salad with all the dressing that you can think of. It starts off in verse number 1, but before we go there, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us to hear and to understand. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the opportunity this morning to come to You in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this church and for these dear people. We thank You for their testimony, and for their courage, for their dependability. Lord, for all the different things that You have called them to do and that they do it with love in their hearts. And Father, I pray this morning as people who want to hear from You, Lord, we want to hear what You have to say. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts, open our spiritual eyes, that we might be able to understand how that we can have the rest that is provided for us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first head of lettuce is, let us fear. It starts out in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1. It said, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into rest, His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, or the good news, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, this scripture is telling us that we should be concerned about the rest because God promised it. God promised it to them that were going through the wilderness. He promised it to them. He said, there is a place of rest for you, and I'm taking you there. But they didn't believe. They didn't have faith that was mixed with God's word. And so, therefore, they were not allowed to enter into that rest. And he's saying, now we should be concerned of the fact, now the word has been given to us, and He has given us all these promises. Let's mix those promises with faith and understand that God is giving us rest. Not only the rest that's in the future, there is going to be rest in the future, but praise God, we can have rest right now. We can have rest in our storms and all the turmoil that we're going through. God can give us rest. The good news of spiritual rest is with us today. The Apostle Paul showed us that wilderness journeys of the Israelites, that everything that was written, we find, was written for our learning, so that we could understand what they went through. And then when we see what was happening in the history, that we would make sure that history doesn't repeat itself. But you know what? Sadly to say, history repeats itself time and time again, because history does not teach us the way to go. It's us believing what God says that changes the way that we go. And we don't have to follow the way that others went. You know, I've counseled believers and I have counseled unbelievers alike. And it is amazing when you have a person, I have counseled people that have been Christians and profess to be Christians for many, many, many years. And they start having problems, they start having difficulties, and they come to me and they say, "Pastor, I'm having this problem, I'm having that problem, and I want to know how you can help us." And I said, "Well, the Word of God has the answer. Let me show you what the answer is." And I take them from the Word of God and I read it, and you know what they say? "Well, that's just not fair." I just had a girl tell me this the other day. I read the scripture because she wants to leave her husband and be married to another. And I said, "You shouldn't do that. Here, this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Read this." And I said, "If you continue to go on the way that you are, the Bible says that you should not marry again." And she goes, "Well, that's just not fair." What does it mean, not fair? It's not fair because God's not saying, "I'm going to put an approval on what you want to do." God's will is not important to her. Her will is important to her. And this is what we're saying, is that we have to understand what God's will is, and that God's will help us have the rest that we want. You can have the peace and the rest if what? If we believe what God's word says. Now, I grant you, there is things coming up in your mind right now of people that you have told the right thing to do through the scripture, and they've decided not to, and they said, "I don't believe that," or whatever, and you have seen their life end up in misery. Is that true? Have you seen those that ended up in misery? I've lived long enough to see my counseling over the years, and I can say, anyone who does not want to believe the Bible and anyone who does not want to obey it, they are doomed and bound to have a miserable life. Now, you know what? They look like they might be having fun, but I'm telling you what, deep down inside, they are miserable. Miserable because they're not following what God has said. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." This is how we enter into rest. It says, "For we who have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day, and on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. Again, he says, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, verses 3 through 7 remind us that believers can actually enter into satisfying rest today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can have rest today? I know that we're not all have rest today and that we not all have peace today, but it's because of the way that we're looking at our problems, and it's the way that we're looking at our difficulties that we cannot enter into that peace, that we cannot enter into that rest. We're looking at the problems. And then God's rest is available to all of us if we don't harden our heart. Have you ever had a hardened heart? Have you ever had one? You know, I think that some people have hardened hearts and they don't know that they have a hardened heart. I believe that there was times in my life that I had a hardened heart and I was, you know, working in ministry and doing my job and going to church and all those type of things. And people would come to me and say some things to me and I go, well, I don't see it like that. I don't see it. I couldn't see it. Why couldn't I see it? Because my heart was hardened. And I didn't realize it was hardened. And so therefore, I wasn't ready to submit to God and do what God wanted me to do because my heart was hardened towards what God's will was for my life. I had a will for my own life. And I wanted to do my own thing. And then all of a sudden, God's power, His mercy, His working through the Word of God and through other people, I began to have my heart broken. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that the Word of God is like a hammer? Man, I tell you what, I'm glad that the Word of God says it's like a hammer. Because I need a sledgehammer sometime, man. I need God to break my heart so that I will be the type of person that Christ wants us to be. Now, I want to show you some verses, and it happens to be with the disciples. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verses 45 through 52. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. In Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52, the scripture says this. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And I've underlined this verse and highlighted in this verse, because it says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now I want to take that verse in those passages of verses there, and I want to let's nut it out a little bit. All right, so we have the Lord, and the Lord told the disciples to get in the boat and to go to the other side. And so as they were going and they were toiling, the Lord was up on a hill in a mountain, and he was praying for them. And he saw them in their toil. Now, do you think the Lord knew that they were going to be in a storm? Of course he did. He was already praying for them. But he told them to go on to the other side. And so here they are. They're in the sea, working against it, and all of a sudden the storm comes. And I mean to tell you, it must have been a pretty good one, because they were afraid. And they got to the point where they were just frantic. They were probably had a lot of anxiety going on. And you know, it tickles me, because in this verse, did you notice this verse? Jesus was going to go across to the other side. And he was going across the sea. But he didn't plan according to this. He says, in verse number 48, he says, and would have passed by them. And would have passed by them. He would have kept on going across the sea and to get to the other side. Now, he was going to do that because he knew that they were going to go to the other side. That the storm wasn't going to be anything significant or any significance to bring them to the other side. They were going to come through, but they were going to have to come through the storm. Now, I'm telling you this story because all of us go through storms. Every one of us. Many of you are probably going through a storm in your life right now. Some of you are going through something very much of a difficulty. You might be having anxiety. You might be having depression. You might be worried. You know, you might have all these feelings and emotions. Matter of fact, to the point that you think that you ought to just give up. But you know, the Lord is praying for us. He is our great high priest. He knew the type of storms that we were going through. And this story teaches us that we're not to look at the storm. We're to look at the wonderful and mighty acts that God has done. You know, they could have been going in the ship and the storm would have come, and you know, some of the brothers would be saying, hey, brothers, let's keep on rowing. Don't you know that a God that can make all those fish and loaves, he can get us across to the other side? When we're going through those storms and we're going through those difficulties and we're going through those anxieties, we're not to look at them. We're to allow them to build up the faith that we have in a great and a mighty God who can get us through those storms, that can get us through those difficulties. Don't you know that God knows that we're going through those things? You know, when those times in our life when we go, man, I tell you what, I don't know if we're going to have enough money to get through the month. And instead of saying, I don't know about the money being, but don't you remember when God got us through all the way up until this time? This hasn't been the hardest time we've been through. It is faith mixed with the Word that helps us to understand that we have a great God and we can rest. We can rest. In the storm, we can rest through the anxiety. Did you know anxiety doesn't help us? Worry doesn't help us. Worry is a lot like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. So we need to be like God is telling us in these scriptures, is not to harden our hearts. When we get off of focus, when we stop looking at that person who is the most important, the one that knows about our life, the one that has looking through our lives and is there to help us in every time and difficulty and problem. Don't you know those things are for us? To teach us something. One thing it teaches me each time is that my faith is not the way that it should be. And the disciples' faith was not the way that it should be because Jesus said their hearts were hardened. Are our hearts hardened this morning? Are they hardened? You say, well, not in every way. But you know, our hearts can be hardened in some ways. And the fact of the matter is sometimes we don't know that our heart is hardened. Let's take a look over in Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. Now, this is going to describe what the hardness of the heart does. What it does. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. The scripture says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, they didn't bring any bread, all right? They were kind of worried about their sustenance. They were worried about what was going to happen to their physical bodies. And they were thinking this in their minds. And as they were thinking, the Lord Jesus says, now beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now he was giving them a spiritual lesson. He knew that they, in this is great because the Lord knows our thoughts, right? And we don't have to be speaking about them. The Lord knows our thoughts. And he knew that they were thinking about physical bread. So here he's going to give them a spiritual leaven, a spiritual lesson about leaven. Because leaven represented what? Leaven has always represented sin. They would have known that from celebrating the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. They would have known that. And so the Lord gives them a spiritual lesson. Have you ever had somebody talk to you and they said something and all of a sudden you took it the wrong way? And then you get kind of a little angry in your heart because you're thinking that this is what that they meant and they were having a go at you. They were putting the knife in the back of your back and all this good. It's because that's an area in your life that you haven't dealt with. You haven't got it straight. That's not what they meant at all. And so then they go, but Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that whatsoever. And so then the disciples, they go, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, did he say that because we forgot the bread? That's not why he said it. He was giving them a spiritual lesson. He was telling them, look, beware of the leaven, the sin of the Pharisees, the sin of Herod. And then he says, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. I think they said it like this. 12. You know, they bowed their heads, it's 12. And then it says, and when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets of full fragments took ye up? 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Why? Because their hearts had been hardened. Once again, they forgot about the bread. They forgot about the bread. They forgot about the miracles of God. And therefore, they were having all these guilt feelings about them forgetting the bread when they should have said, hey, I've seen Jesus in action. Bread's not a problem. Fish is not a problem. He can do miracles. But you notice that this is what leads to a hardened heart. He says, they were unable to perceive. They couldn't understand spiritual messages, the messages that God wanted them to hear. They were unable to understand what God wanted them to know. They were unable to see. We always do this, right? When you talk to someone, you talk to your children, and you tell them something, and then they sit there like their eyes are blank, and you go, whoosh, you know, it's just gone over the top of their head. They could not see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. It's not necessarily that they couldn't hear, but they weren't comprehending the spiritual message that Jesus was giving them. And then they could not remember. They could not remember. And this is the difficulty and the problem that we have as Christians when we go through all this anxiety, depression, worry, struggle, is we don't remember how great our God is. And that's why that we're not entering into the rest that God wants us to have right now. The reason that we cannot enter into the rest that God wants us to have right this moment is because we have heard the preaching of the good news. We have seen what God has done in our lives and in our hearts and in the lives and the hearts of other people. But yet, it's not mixed with faith when we go through a struggle. Because our struggles become more powerful than who we believe our God is. All of a sudden, we're thinking, I have to take on this pressure. I have to be the one who figures all this out. I am the kingpin of this struggle. But are we really? Are we really? No. It is our God. He is able. He has the power. I know there's a lot of people said that there's no miracles today. But I tell you what, I saw a miracle when I accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he was turned from death into life. He was turned from a person who was darkened, and now he's in the light. And his life has been transformed. we still serve a God that is able. And he's willing. And we just have to believe it. And when we believe it, we enter into that rest, saying, God's going to take care of this. God's going to take care of this. He is the one who is able. Not me. He is the one that is able. Now, I've spent a lot of time on that point, but I'm going to close the lesson right there. And I'm going to give you some other the heads of lettuce after we eat. But I want us to consider for a few moments. And right now, I'd like for everyone to bow your heads. And I want you to have a talk with the Lord Jesus. And I want you to ask him to help you to perceive, to understand, to see, to hear, and to remember that he is our Lord and our God, and that he is able. And I want you to ask him to dash into pieces every place where our hearts have been hardened. Everywhere that we have said, this is an impossibility. This can't happen. There is no way I'm going to get through this. And then say, God, I am sorry for my unbelief. And break every piece of hard heart that I have. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity of being able to understand that we are, as Christians, to be concerned about rest. Because we realize that the good news that rest is available today, that we're not entering into it right this moment because of our unbelief. And our unbelief shows us that we have hard hearts. And that we're not trusting you through the storm. We're not trusting you through the difficulty. And Lord, we know you are able. We remember, Lord, reading about the loaves and the fishes. We remember about the seas being open. But Lord, we remember what you did in our lives and how you changed us. So, Father, we know that there is nothing that is impossible for you. Forgive us, dear God, in every area where we've heard the word, yet we did not believe. And we'll give you the praise and give you the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Appropriate song to end on today, number 294. Number 294. We're going to sing the first and the third verse of Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy goats we Thou hast bought us like we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, Thou hast bought us like we are.
To the third.
Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and simple though we be. Thou hast mercy to receive us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn.
Going to close our services now. We're getting ready for our luncheon, though, so we invite everyone to stay around afterward and fellowship with us and have a bit of food, and then we're going to have a short afternoon service. I'm going to ask Brother Clive Broslin if he would to close our service. Brother?
Father, we appreciate it. Thank you for your word.